Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
My goodness, I want to give a big shout out to America. I want to give you hope, let you know that in the first Great Awakening, it was done on horseback. In the second Great Awakening, it was done on horseback. And we are going to do it on digital horseback because we tried to get John up on a horse, but it just wouldn't work. So we're going to try to put our hands up to get him up on the horse. Listen, there is hope. God looks for a man to stand in the gap. He looks for a man, a woman to stand in the gap who, so on behalf of the people, so he doesn't have to destroy the land. And look, he's found you. You know, listen, we're in tune. We're more than a man. We're men and women who believe God and that our God is greater than anything the enemy can do out there. But we got to wake up, you know, and that's why he tells us awake, sleeper, awake. Today on VFN Radio across the land, we are going to be, and you are seeing what we're going to be talking about today as we continue our conversation about the government shutdown. We're on the 15th day of the government shutdown. We're like 24 hours away from 16th day, I mean, away from the, that's what that was. And we are like 24 hours away from what they're saying is a potential default. And what does that mean to us? That means in regards to our homes that they're going to put a sticker on the front door and say, the inhabitants will no longer be living here anymore. The reason why the moving truck is there right now, it ain't their place. And if 40% of every dollar spent that we demand from Washington and our representatives comes from another country, that means there's a high probability that if we don't humble ourselves, then we will be slave to the lender. I don't know. Isn't that what God says? He says the debtor's enslaved to the lender. And who would ever thunk that we would actually be in debt to those who... It's so crazy. Isn't it crazy? It's so crazy. It's like... I don't like your form of government. I don't know what's y'all's problem over there. Hey, can I borrow $5?
Exactly. You know, we
need some money for our democracy here. We don't want to.
Communism is bad.
Yeah,
And
you know, you guys, you're just. I can't believe the way you're treating your people. But can you make us some more shirts? If you make us some more shirts, then we can sell them in our democracy, and we can make more money. I mean, we are definitely the you know, corporate's very important over here in America and all that. I mean, it's crazy. And now, guess what? It's coming due. And today is the day that we're going to say, this is that moment when Samuel's speaking to the church, not to the world, and he's saying, choose God or choose a king. Mm. It's SOS, the tale of two kings, and you can actually hear this right now, possibly, on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN TV and just listen to it or watch it. But understand this, that this is SOS, Saul or Samuel. You can't have them both. And isn't it interesting, too? We're talking about Saul Alinsky and his 13 tactics, and here it is, SOS. Is it going to be Samuel or Saul? And even after God told him all the things he did for him, how he provided, how he's the one that brought him out of slavery, he's the one that did this, he did that, and you know he's the reason why they're breathing, he's the reason why their skin's being held together and every supporting ligament's holding together. He's God. And they go, okay, cool. Can we still? I appreciate you, Dad, for you know telling me, preaching me, you know, telling me. But anyway, can I still have what I want?
Yeah.
You know, can I still have a king? And they chose, Israel chose not to be up under God, to go up under a king. And they've been up under up until just 1948. They were up under kings and tyranny and all this stuff up to that point. And if you haven't yet heard, you need to go to VFN Torch. And go to VFNTV.com and listen to America, how we got here and how we stay here, because we got here one nation under God because we got back what Israel lost when they went over to a king, and we declared our independence in 1776 from a king because we realized that we could do what Israel left, which is one nation under God. But in addition to that, we helped Israel understand that they can get back under God again and not be up under a king. And now they have the same form of government basically that we have. The only democracy in the Middle East over there, representative government. And now here we are. It's like, have we lost our usefulness? Are we going to throw this thing away?
Wow.
What was the president that said, my mother taught me at my knees and signed the papers?
Harry Truman.
Harry Truman said this. It was our president that signed One Nation Under God, the president that was elected. And I can't tell you what number of president he was, but it wasn't many because we only had, you know, 40 some odd, six, seven, whatever. And he said he signed the papers that declared Israel a nation. In other words, we participated in the process of bringing Israel. God used us in participation of the process of bringing Israel as one nation under God. And so they came back up under their dependency where they'll have to look up and not to a king. Mm-hmm. Now they're involved in the affairs of their day-to-day life. They're not under some tyrannical king. And so they have input. So also that means when they, all of them begin to look up, they change the direction of Israel, which means that's what we're supposed to be doing is looking up. And so it's called We the People in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so we're seeing today, today is the day. This is like Elijah standing on Mount Moriah
Carmel.
Carmel, standing on top of Mount Carmel saying, okay, here we are. You know, if government's God, choose government. If God is God, and this is America because there's a unique word where God has risen up America. He's raised it up. And, you know, if government's God, choose government. And if God is God, choose God. In other words, SOS. It's the tale of two kings, Samuel or Saul. Here we are. This is the day. Mm-hmm. We heard a prophet stand up on the stage of America for almost 24 hours, possibly. One of our American citizens out of Texas who stood up, who understands the American concept better than most others because his father came from
Cuba,
and he's just saying, listen, let's don't lose this thing. And he began to teach us again about our founding principles and all that. So we have it laid out there. We have it totally laid out there. And we could say, you know, you're right. You know, I don't know what happened. And at that point, we could choose God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, choose today who you're going to serve. And my biggest concern, because of the things that we've been seeing, is the default setting at this point. Because of the organizing techniques that's been done in this nation for the last 100 years, and it's just increased, the Alinsky model has been increased in a rapid way, that it's been nudged so much, as Cass Sunstein says, that they very well may say, we choose government. And everybody goes, oh, I'm just so glad. We almost came to utter ruin. We almost lost everything. And then all of a sudden, Elijah, after calling down fire from heaven, will run into the wilderness, and all the folks who chose government as God will go, I knew he was a false prophet. He had issues all along. He just didn't like Ahab. Jezab, I don't know. You mix them together, right? You know? And you know, that's what they say. And God's going, I'm going to talk about you forever. I am so enamored with you, Elijah, that I'm not going to let you die like everybody. I'm going to swing down a chariot. The fact that you stood up for me in front of the entire world and you said, this is the decision. I want it to be clear. And you said, you laid it out there, even though you had to end up in a cave and you weren't ready to do it anymore, and you came back out and you began to, you know, be a spiritual father in the Lord, and you did pass on your mantle. But I'm going to take you to be with me. Remember, you're not even going to see death. I'm going to bring you back with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm going to chat with you about the destiny of the nation and the world. My goodness. You think about it. But don't worry about it. You're going to be the most unpopular person in the world, leading if you stand up for God. But in the kingdom of heaven, I mean, start singing, swing low, sweet chariot. I'm coming for to take you home, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the day. But the thing about it, everybody's so caught up in the popularity type thing, and they think the crowd is the answer. And they're convinced that if so many people are gathered around Ahab and Jezebel, that must be right.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a moment. Take a moment and learn your vowels and consonants again. Begin to learn sentence structure again. And then put the sentences together and read paragraphs, and then read history. I mean, it's like repeating itself over and over and over again. And it's amazing. We're like alarm clocks going, wake up. They go like, I'm trying to wake up, but I don't know what to do. And after a while, you're like, God, give me grace, give me patience, because I might not want them to wake up. That was Jonah, right?
Yeah.
Jonah was like, I don't want Nineveh to wake up.
Yeah, right.
And the truth is, I want America to wake up. Countries come and countries go, but I want the church. I want the people. I mean, we had a sweet lady write to us, you know, from our CTN audience, you know, out there that was listening just yesterday. And, you know, we're not able to give any kind of financial advice or anything like that, but I know to tell you my story, you know, I was looking around and trying to think, you know, in all this chaos and all this confusion, when all this stuff's happening in government, where people are trying to use these guys in DC to take your money and put it in their pockets, and you're just kind of stuck. What do you do? Where do you invest? And you're seeing possible economic collapse. We're seeing God showing us economic collapse. He's showing us a transformation. It's biblically there. And so what do you do? I mean, that is a big issue. What do you do? And I went away on a sabbatical to spend some time with God, trying to hear clearly from him, because I couldn't hear him too well over the snoring. No, and the and so as I went to go spend time with him, he began to unfold the next season and what's taking place in the earth and what's happening.
Greg, we have breaking news. Fox News is reporting that the Senate aide confirms Reid McConnell budget deal finalized, and now
Reid McConnell,
okay. And that it's going to now go to the House to get approval. But that just came out just now. Breaking news.
Well, you know, this just kind of totally makes me think about what you're seeing is the House really should have began because that's the representative view. We're not going to go those details. But years ago, there was this particular a cartoon that kind of helped people understand government. It was called I'm Just a Bill. Remember, I was in Washington, D.C. with you, sitting on the steps, acting like this cartoon, because I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And what they're doing is they're throwing it back and forth from Congress to Senate, Congress to Senate, and that Congress, what you have now is two people from your state determining what 40 people from your state are going to do, unless the representatives in the House, and pray for them today that they would hear from God and stand for what's right, that we don't let ourselves get nudged into a place of darkness and say, just give them what they want, because that's exactly the Alinsky tactics they're being used. But just for a moment, I want you to hear, this is a short little moment that kind of tells you how the progression of bills take place and laws take place. Listen up. It's kind of funny, but true.
Woo. You sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, you're right, there ought to be a law. Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. How I hope and pray that they will, but today I am still just a bill.
Listen to those congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. Oh, but it looks like I'm going to live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I'll wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be a law. How I hope and pray that he will. But today I am still just a bill.
You mean even if the whole Congress says you should be a law, the president can still say no?
Yes, that's called a veto. If the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again, and by that time you're so old.
By that time, it's very unlikely that you become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today, I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Oh, yes!
Well, here we are. I mean, that is such a good explanation of what is taking place in today. I mean, things are kind of going back and forth. There's nothing wrong with the context of that. But there is, we have also available to you, we're going to be able to make available, hoping just a moment, they're going to pull that up. You may have it also in your files over there, is understanding how this whole thing works and what is the goal. What are people looking for? What are they trying to work out in regards to government? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. What are they trying to do right now? We were talking about what's taking place in here. I want you to hear this. I want you to get it ready. Pull it in the, if you can pull it in there so they can see it, Pat. And this is such a cartoon that was written, and the cartoon was written, I believe, and I can't see it there, but I think it was in 1938 or, Blues there's what I got. Let me do it again. Here we go.
It was 1948.
It was 1948, and we're in the same situation that we're in now. The same situation, 1948, by the Harding College that actually had done it at that particular time. And if you can pull that up, get that ready for us. You got to hear this. This is a cartoon, but this is kind of the difference between capitalism, socialism, communism. This is the difference between one nation under God and one nation under government. Because the only way America works, the original Founding Fathers' idea, is that if we are under God. But if we're not under God, that void is going to be filled by being under men. Listen to this.
America is many things to many people. To a 17-year-old kid, it's the malt shop on the corner. To Grandpa, it's the front porch in the cool of the evening. To Mother and her family, it's church on Sunday morning. And to Dad, it's his favorite relaxation. It's the Cracker Barrel philosophers in Crabtree Corners. And it's the tycoons in Wall Street. It's all races, creeds, and religions. It's freedom to work at the job you like. Freedom of speech and to peaceably assemble. Freedom to own property. Security from unlawful search or seizure.
Where's your warrant, Flatfoot?
The right to a speedy and public trial. Protection against cruel punishments and excessive fines. The right to vote. And to worship God in your own way. It is these freedoms that have made America strong.
Okay, okay, so we got our freedom. But management's lousing up everything.
Labor is at fault. It's ruining the country.
My constituents. As your elected representative, I can assure you labor's right. Management's right. I'm strictly neutral.
Labor, management, politicians, phooey. They can't tell corn from oats.
Wait, hurry, strike!
Hurry, step right up, folks. Here's the answer to your problems. Dr. Utopia's sensational new discovery, ism. Ism will cure any ailment of the body politic. It's terrific. It's tremendous. Once you swallow the contents of this bottle, you'll have the bountiful benefit of higher wages, shorter hours, and security. Enormous profits. No strikes. Remember, you're the big boss. Government control. No worry about votes. Name your own salary. Bigger crops. Lower cost. Why, ism even makes the weather perfect every day. And now then, because we are introducing this amazing item for the first time in this country, it isn't going to cost you 1 cent. All you have to do is sign this little scrap of paper, and you get your bottle absolutely free.
I hereby turn over to ISM Incorporated everything I have, including my freedom and the freedom of my children and my children's children, in return for which, said ism promises to take care of me forever.
Pardon me. And who are you, my good man?
I'm John Q. Public.
Ah, my fine friend, you're just in time to share this generous and gigantic offer. Sign right here.
Mind if I read it first?
Hurry up,
don't
now,
bother to read it.
No,
let me.
Keep your shirts on, boys. You know, including my freedom. Freedom? Well, sign away my freedom. Why, this is ridiculous.
Don't be corny, brother.
Sure, our system of free enterprise isn't perfect. But before we throw it away for some imported double talk, let's turn the clock back a few years to see what it's done for us. For example, back in the 1890s, Joe Doakes was just a guy who liked to tinker around his barn. Some people thought Joe was lazy. Some even thought he was nuts. But one day, he had an idea. And because he was free to dream his dream and tinker, Joe had a chance to make something of himself and his idea. So... some people didn't think so much of Joe's idea. But that didn't stop him. So Joe got some money from young Aunt Minnie and Uncle Angus and Grandpappy and Mr. Titus. When Joe's friends and relatives used their savings to help him buy tools and property, they were capitalists. Don't blush, folks. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Now, naturally, Joe needed some help. So he hired Willie Lumpkin, who was out of work anyway. And before long, Willie had the know-how and became skilled labor. Because capital, management, and labor worked together, Joe's idea grew. It grew and did things even he never dreamed of. Today, the automobile industry provides millions of jobs that never existed before. And remember, this is a story of only one industry. There are thousands more scattered all over the United States whose history of development is pretty much the same. We've built a country under the American system that sends more young people to high school and college than all the rest of the world combined. Why, even in the Depression, our wages bought more food, clothing, travel, and entertainment than the wages of any other people in the world. Our country has a national income equal to the total national incomes of any other six nation in the world. With only 7% of the Earth's... we drive 70% of the world's automobiles. That's just a sample of the things the capitalistic system has given us in only 160 years. Before signing up, you boys ought to try a little taste of Dr. Ism's formula to see what you'd get in exchange for your freedom. Go ahead, try it.
To me, I'll strike.
The state forbids strikes.
Wait till the union hears about this.
Ah, yes, the union. Welcome to our ranks, number 1313.
I'll take this case to the Supreme Court.
The state is the Supreme Court. Our decision is as follows. No more private property. No more you.
And the farm voted put a stop to this.
Farmers don't vote anymore.
What'll I do for seed next year?
You won't have to worry about next year. The state will do your planning from now on.
We must fight to regain our freedom, or everything is lost. Everything!
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
When anybody preaches disunity,
tries to pit one of us against the other through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance, you know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives.
And we know what to do about it.
And now, gentlemen, no violence, please. And don't throw those bottles. Don't throw those bottles! No! Oh, no! No! Wait! Oh, no! Wait! Oh, no!
Working together to produce an ever greater abundance of material and spiritual values for all. That is the secret of American prosperity.
Well, here we are. Isn't that amazing? In 1948, at 160 year of our birthday, 160 years at that point, they actually understood what we've forgotten now in 2013. And here we are at that point. I mean, everybody's got their ism juice. You know, was it socialism? Was it communism? People don't understand. People say, people talk about communism and socialism and whatever isms. Like, they don't care what name you put in it. What they're saying is, hey, the government's going to take care of me. They don't care what you. That's why people are having arguments about the verbiage. You know, communism. They don't care what it's called. I mean, well, you call it whatever you want to, as long as you're going to take care of my PlayStation and my mobile device and my food and my housing. And it's just like China right now. China, there is no publicly owned land, and it's all owned by the government. No privately owned land in China other than just a few cronies right now that they're paying off after all these years. But really, I mean, China's huge. And you think like 99.99999999 et cetera percent of that property is owned by the government. That's communism. And that is the isms that we want to talk that's going on right now. That's what this whole thing is being organized against. That's what we want it organized for, to be able to bring us up under something other than God.
Yeah.
And so the choice, I mean, think about the timing. Here we are today, right now, this one, it's not, I mean, so you could, you could go to the VFN Torch, and you could see this cartoon that was written, that was done by Hardin College in 1948, and just realize that's exactly what's going on. I'm Just a Bill, which was in the 70s, and the Hardin cartoon in 1948 about isms explain it. And it's interesting too, on the very front of the cartoon when it's starting, they have a picture of a bull, and it says utopia over the top of it. In other words, men trying to develop and design the perfect system that causes men to, and everybody's like, hey, you're going to let me live in utopia? But it never ends up like utopia. Yeah. It never ends up like utopia. Utopia is what's described where God is at this very moment. Streets of gold, no need for sun and moon, because the sun himself is the light in heaven. Understand where there's no more tears and no more pain, that the trees that are along the river that streams from the throne of God has healing properties in it for the ethnos, for the nations. I mean, the awesomeness of God, that is utopia. That's where God has designed. He says, listen, don't worry about it. I'm going away, but I'm coming back for you. I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare for utopia for you. It's called heaven, and a new heaven and a new earth. And the devil, Lucifer, ever since this is his organized effort, his Alinsky effort in the throne room of God that got him cast down to earth, he's been trying to cause you to think he can develop a utopia here on earth. But this is, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness covers men. Even with men with good intentions, they can't do it. We have to have the light. We have to have God to survive this life, because there's so much darkness down here. Remember, we talked about it, that even Jesus himself was offered the kingdoms of this world because Lucifer said, they've been given to me. I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. Listen, I'll develop a utopia for you, Jesus. I'll do something for you. And Jesus is like, are you serious? You know, he understood. No, I don't think so. You know, it's written that you just worship God and him only. I'm not going to worship you. I don't care. But he understood. Listen, not only that, he was going to leave this earth and arise to go sit at the right hand of the Father while he was building utopia for you. So yeah, there's something inside of you that says there's a better place. There's something inside of you that says, I want to go to a place where there's no sickness, no disease, none of this arguing and fighting and division and sin and darkness and temptation and evil and just all the oppression. And there is a place like that. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would have told you. So understand, if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. And see, while this distance between him building you a place, utopia, and coming back for you, Lucifer's cranking up a notch, trying to take as many people into his false utopias that end up always in camps, trains, bondage, and the Wendy's-type commercials that we were talking about where the humor was they didn't have but one gray dress, and they just wore it for evening wear with a flashlight, and they wore it for day wear without a flashlight. I mean, because what happens is people's desire to do what God's designed us to do, which is create and build, and God bless the work of our hands, they stop having that desire anymore. And when you stop working, money stops happening, food stops growing, and all of a sudden people become oppressed, and all of a sudden they start thinking about eliminating people, and you know, you've lived long enough. I mean, you're already at 21. I mean, look at all the life that you've had already. I mean, you know, things start happening like that.
You're consuming too many resources.
Yes, yes, you're consuming too many resources. And besides, we want you to die in our utopia, not be born again in Jesus's utopia, to live forever, forever in eternity, where there is no shadow of turning of his presence. And so, yeah, the desire inside of you for a utopia that the enemy, Lucifer, tries to pervert is perverted. It's turned. Mm-hmm. It's not the real deal. Go just look at history. Just. I know it's difficult. Switch off your PlayStation just for a moment. Turn off your reality TV just for a moment and look back at the reality TV of history. Go to the History Channel. Will even tell you. Look up for some things happening. How it happened in history. The utopia that Hitler promised the German people, and he promised them. He promised them under great financial crisis. He said, "Listen, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you." And when he did that, it ended up with the destruction of God's people, the Jews, the Christians, and all the ones they did not want in society. We have to pay attention. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program, you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business, or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.